I'm James Brierton in Charlotte. This week, we are taking you back to a conversation with Storm Chase extraordinaire Brett Adair. He talked with us during our WeatherPods Disaster Relief Telethon in November when we were joined by our friends from WeatherBrains, Chaser Chat, and Stormfront Freaks, all in an effort to raise money for the American Red Cross. Well, Brett was talking to us about storm chasing, about the things he does when he is sometimes standing side by side with the first responders, such as the American Red Cross or local firefighters during a severe weather event. In this conversation, special guest James Spann joins us. He's the chief meteorologist in the ABC station in Birmingham, Alabama, and of course the host of Weather Brains. James had actually just been released from the hospital after a scare that he had that same week in November. So here now is our conversation with Brett Adair, the Carolina Weather Group, and special guest James Spann. Take a listen. We welcome in our guests this hour, Brett Adair, James Spann, and Dan Whitaker from the Carolina Weather Group are here, and this is going to be another great conversation, and we welcome in everybody who's watching live on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform lovingly formerly known as Twitter to comment along and join our conversation here. We're going to get to Brett in just a second because I know he's probably looking forward to maybe having dinner or resting a bit because I know you're feeling a little under the weather. And so I appreciate you hopping on here tonight. But Bill, I wanted to start with you because James Spann is with us. And I know James also had a bit of a long week. And so I wanted to acknowledge it's good to see James back with us tonight and let you guys kind of catch up here for a minute.
Yeah, I don't want to be emotional, but, you know, we went from kidding about James, you know, maybe catching a bug from one of his school visits to 10 o'clock, you know, rushing to the hospital. And I mean, it really led for a really sleepless night for me because, you know, I never thought about a world without James Spann. And I knew he was being lifted up so many different places with, you know, with prayers and well wishes. But at the same time, you know, it just was just shocking, James. And you broke me right out of it at 4:45. I got a text from you, said, feel like a new man. I need you to do the radio for a couple of days. But, you know, I'm resting and recovering. And we were so thankful for that, James.
Well, I don't want this to be about me, but yeah, this was a very strange week. And, you know, unexpected things happen to everybody. And, you know, part of what we're doing here on the telethon, it's trying to help people. And goodness gracious, at some point, we all need help. We all need help. Everybody watching and listening, everybody here on the show. And that was just a very odd case. I don't get sick. I don't do sickness. I don't go down. I work. And, but there comes a point where things happen, and the pain, the abdominal pain was so severe, I knew that I had to go. So they got me into surgery. Surgery didn't last that long, and it was a double loop bowel obstruction. How nasty is that? But they got in there, and they did it with a laparoscopically, so they didn't have to cut me wide open. So that helps the recovery go faster. But I feel like a new man. So I'm very blessed, and I'm just honored to be here with all these important people. And, you know, Brett's he's struggling down in South Mississippi, too. He's on the Mississippi coast, and I think he's got a bout of the flu going on here. So we do not need tornado activity down here in the deep south this week.
Brett, let me ask you, because we have seen your footage on network news, on local news, on the internet. Unfortunately, a lot of those images come from communities that fortunately receive aid from the American Red Cross. So you're on the ground a lot as a storm chaser with your brand LSM. Talk to us a little bit about what it's like sometimes being the first person to roll into these communities or the person alongside first responders and disaster relief to kind of be there on the ground. How do you juggle that? I'm here as a journalist, I'm here as a scientist, and I'm also here as a human being.
Well, in many cases, especially this year, I think one of our most intense situations on the ground was the, you know, Rolling Fork, Silver City, Mississippi tornado back in March. And that's where we basically told our network partners, you know, look, we're on the ground here. We're pulling up on damage and we hear people screaming for help. I'm going to leave the cameras rolling in the car, but I'm getting out to go do my job at that point, which in my opinion is to help these people. And luckily we did do that. We met a little boy that night named Caleb. He has dealt with numerous surgeries over the last little bit in the Jackson, Mississippi area. I have kept in touch with his mother, Ms. Jessica Drain there. And I'm happy to say we thought Caleb was not going to make it that night. We put him on a coffee table. You know, he was looking really lifeless, but we got a group of six or seven guys together and put him on a coffee table and put him in the back of a sheriff's car, and they rushed him to the hospital, and he had emergency brain surgery that night. So, you know, it's difficult because in my personal belief, you know, I know we're doing a job as journalists, as meteorologists, and, you know, as in some cases, storm chasing on the ground. But from a humanitarian aspect, at that point, we just let it all go. You're there for a reason. God puts his hands on you to assist these people, and you need to do that. So that's what we did. Luckily, that particular situation, that boy's doing very well now out of the hospital and looks to make a full recovery. So it's difficult, though. It's very difficult. And that's the reason for the people that are going to storm spot, or if you desire to do any of the chasing side of this business, you know, get the training, get the first response training, get the, you know, CPR training from the Red Cross, have those tools on hand, because at some point, if you do this long enough, and I've had to deal with it many, many times, unfortunately, you're going to need those.
Brett, I have one more question, and then I'll see what the others dialed in tonight want to ask you. But have you ever needed, when you're out yourself, the assistance of the American Red Cross or an organization like it? And if not, what are you as a professional bringing with you in terms of gear and preparation that allows you to be in these places that suddenly find themselves maybe off the grid and cut off from the rest of the world?
James, we've got first aid kits first and foremost. I can do a limited amount because I'll be honest with you, I'm not a nurse. I have limited training, but I'm going to do what I can on the ground if I'm the first one there. And that night we ended up being one of the first two or three people that were on the scene. And, you know, we bring equipment that assists us in getting in, whether it's chainsaws, chainsaws, chains, you know, any of the heavier equipment. We try to keep, you know, at least something to help us get some of the smaller debris out of the way so that we can get in. And, you know, always we have direct connections with groups like the American Red Cross. Another great one is the Samaritan's Purse. They were on the ground doing great work across Mississippi during that particular event, but we see them at every event. Those are two of the organizations that we see at every event that we cover typically. And yes, we absolutely do communicate back and forth because we want to assist them in anything that they may need and feed them information so that they can assist some of those people that are in direct need as well.
I actually lied. I have one more question before I let Dan ask his. I want to bring James Spann back into the conversation because as a broadcast meteorologist, I know you rely a lot on storm chasers. So whether it's Brett's work or work of other storm chasers, I'm curious, James, what do those live pictures from the ground add to your toolkit as a broadcast meteorologist?
Well, we've learned through social science studies that a lot of people don't react when they see radar. You can show the most incredible TDS, a tornado debris signature. You can show this incredible debris ball, velocity couplet, all of those of us that love weather, just immediately we know it's graphic violence. But most people on the street don't react to that. But if you can show them a live stream of a tornado, of damage that's occurred, it tends to make them go to a safe place. So in terms of the human behavior element of this, it's absolutely critical. I'd rather have cameras than an upgraded radar, live cameras and live feeds from the field. To me, that's more important than having, you know, 10 gazillion radars around. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, but it's a critical part of what we do. And again, we're all here to mitigate loss of life and human suffering. And tornadoes are going to happen, but we've all got to be better. And let me just rephrase that. I've got to be better at what I do. And we've learned a lot, but we've got a lot ways to go here.
And from my perspective in the field, you know, James brings the same importance in the studio, because if we can get those first images back, even though he's showing radar imagery live on air, you know, then those upstream communities are going to take this more seriously as it's moving in that direction, because we saw several more communities off to the northeast that night be devastated. We've seen this time and time again over the last 4 or 5 years, especially across the deep south. And, you know, I don't see any signs of that stopping. And again, just like medical science, we're seeing great advances in technology here that are allowing us to get more and more information out these days. And it's great that we're able to do that, because I feel like we're going to save more and more lives down the road.
So kind of coming back to you, Brett, here, I want to look at anything else from 2023. It's been a year of a lot of different, you know, we're coming at the end of hurricane season. You know, obviously there's some question of if anything else will pop up or not. It's looking unlikely. However, what are some big takeaways, or maybe another big takeaway from 2023 and the storms we had this year?
Well, we dealt with, you know, Idalia down in the peninsula of Florida. That was pretty devastating for that particular area, one of the strongest hurricanes to ever strike that particular region of Florida. So, you know, even in the El Nino year, we still dealt with a very serious impact. But I'm very thankful it's been relatively more quiet in terms of landfalls previously. You know, in previous years than this one. I think that's one thing that we're all just glorified for. But in terms of severe weather, you know, it seems like we've had a bit of a break, but we flipped from one big extreme to the other across portions of the South, particularly, and we went into a big drought. I mean, I don't know that I can ever in my memory recall having wildfires across coastal Louisiana. You know, that's just something that's almost crazy to me to think about. And I know that you guys up toward the Appalachians have been dealing with some of that up in the Carolinas and Virginia over the last couple of days even. So it's just been one extreme to the next. And it's interesting how our environment and our science, you know, we seem to see that quite a bit, at least in my time here over the last 10 or 15 years, it's one extreme to the next.
I actually just got up from my chair within the last few minutes because I was smelling smoke. And I was trying to figure out where I was coming from, because we have a burn ban here in Charlotte, as to 30 some odd counties in North Carolina, because of the drought, because of the fire danger. Somebody either has a backyard fire going, or they're burning leaves, whatever it is, should not be happening right now. And that certainly caught my attention. And it's unfortunate that is happening right now. But Brett, let me follow along this, the fire angle. There's a lot that happens with Mother Nature that it's not always purely, air quotes, weather. People think about tornadoes. They might think about hurricanes, but we've got earthquakes. We've got fires. There's a lot happening in the globe. How is that playing into your response, how your business evolves, and kind of that big picture of all of the things that you might find yourself at the footstep of?
It's interesting. It's watching the evolution of what we've done in our side of this business over the last few years has been interesting. And especially, Dan can attest to this, the work of drones has been something that has taken this to a whole new level. You know, because one of our really good friends, Brian Imfinger, who does a lot of great work for us, we sent him to Iceland this week with the possibility of, you know, Iceland opening up. And there's been some fissures there that did open up. So one big thing is when we're not doing things across the lower 48, you know, as much. If it's not as busy, we're traveling abroad. We had a group that went for the big cyclone that hit Paris, you know, 2 weeks ago, and they had some hurricane force winds. So it's something we're having to evolve with Mother Nature. You know, the changing patterns and the changing of the seasons are occurring now, and we're really just having to move around with it. But it looks like we're starting to get more active across the deep south. So, you know, that's secondary, or really even our long severe weather season from November to, you know, the end of May here is really just beginning. So I think that we're going to start getting more active, and we're going to be more active on, you know, some severe weather and, you know, flash flooding. I think that we're going to go from drought. I think we're going to see some flooding elements come into play as well, as this jet, the subtropical jet should begin to set up some over this winter.
I'm anxiously awaiting some El Nino effects and maybe some more precipitation here in the southeast, because we need like 6 inches to get back caught up by the end of the year. We've just hit $5,800, thanks in part to $46 from Sound by the Pound AV Services, whose work you've been hearing today, because he's sitting right over there. So thank you to Tim for getting us over to $5,800. Do appreciate that. Dan, you have any questions for Brett before we let him get some rest? Because I know his weekend, he's feeling a little under the weather here.
I guess every year there's new things that are being done for pinpointing kind of how to get the best hurricane footage at LSM. I know that you're always working on some sort of new project. I just kind of, with Idalia and kind of some of the hurricanes that came across this season, were you able to kind of work on any of those new projects?
We were able to work on a couple of new pieces of equipment that we're wanting to deploy hopefully some point during the winter season. It's no secret. I had my close call during Hurricane Michael back in 2018. And if you've been in this long enough in the field, you're going to have close calls. So we've been working, and you've seen several of them, but we've been working on storm surge applications in particular with mobile remote camera systems. And we're actually working and nearing completion of a product that will have remote cameras on a location. We will have the ability to do some panning, tilting, and zoom with a high quality camera. We will have the ability to do storm surge measurements, calibrated storm surge measurements from a site that is housing one of those units, as well as, you know, having some live weather data come back with that. We're not trying to rush that particular piece, but we did some testing this year, and we're excited to see where that's going to go, you know, as we enter next year. And we've also started working on some new software. We've got a whole development team now that's building things, and we're building a broadcast and emergency management software to assist with some of the notifications that are going out there. And we're getting into the tower camera system game right now. Everybody wants cameras. As James said, cameras are, you know, the eagle eye to the sky, and people pay attention to those. And you can literally go. I attended McDema this week, which was an emergency management conference here Tuesday through Thursday on the coast. And if you talk to any emergency manager, the one thing that they can never have enough of is cameras.
I want to throw out there that I just got back from the Mid-Atlantic Severe Weather Conference in Virginia. I guess it was a week and a half ago or so. And one of the social scientists from the National Weather Service was there presenting about how important that visual imagery was. And when you put the science up against it, people just need imagery. They need pictures. They need real time imagery in order to react. And especially with a vague concept such as storm surge, you can't imagine 10 feet of surge water. And so I think it is so important that we're going to hopefully use technology and a little bit of a, good effort to get that going.
And I'll just add, the Mid-Atlantic Storm Chaser Conference was our first triple digit donation this morning. So we appreciate their support, their $100 helping us get to $5,800. Brett, you're welcome to stick around as long as you like, but in case you need to hop off here, how can people follow your work?
Well, you guys can catch us. We've got Live Storms Media on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube as well. We're continuing to, you know, pump those videos out. If we've got severe weather there in Alabama, I'll be working with James there at 3340. So make sure to catch us on ABC 3340 during any weather events. And, we're very interactive. So reach out to us if you've got any questions, Brett@livestormsmedia.com, and I'll get back to you.
That's just a small part of what made our WeatherPods Disaster Relief Telethon such a success. Thanks to all of our special guests, our co-host, and to you at home, who helped us raise over $7,000 for the American Red Cross and their disaster relief efforts. You can still donate. The link right now in the description, wherever you're watching or listening this week. I'm James Brierton. Thanks so much for spending time with us. We'll see you again next week for more from the Carolina Weather Group. Be well.